So we are holding on Zion Amud Aleph, eight lines from the top. Line begins Ovid. We're in the middle of a discussion as follows. First of all, we had a machlokas Rav and Shmuel about the question: if you have an L-shaped mavui, you can see on the previous daf on Vav Amud Aleph, you have a diagram of it in Rashi. You have an L-shaped mavui where each end of it opens out to a different Rishus Rabin. The question is, now we've been learning all this time about a mavui sasu, about a mavui that's closed at one end and open at the other, meaning a dead end street. So that we know, you don't, that we know at the open end that opens to Rishus Rabim, you need a lechi record. That's basic stuff. The question is, in this case, when you have this L-shaped mavui, what do we consider it as? We said Rav considers it like an open mavui, like a mavui mefulosh, one which is open from one Rishus Rabim to another. Which in that case, then we have, you generally we say that in that case you would need a tzuras pesach at one end and a lechi record at the other end, but that's actually the other machlokas that we're going to get into in a second. And meanwhile, Shmuel holds that this L-shaped mavui is considered a mavui sosum. It's considered one. It's considered. In effect, what you have is it's two mavoyas that open one into the other. But Shmuel says that the other end is still considered closed off. It's just considered you have a breach in it between it and the other mavui. Therefore, so Rashi had learned. So actually, in that sugya yesterday about the L-shaped mavui, Rashi had learned that according to Rav, you would need a lechi at each of the open ends of the L-shaped mavui, and then you would need a tzuras pesach in the middle where it bends at the angle in the middle. Meanwhile, Shmuel would hold that all you need is a lechi at each end that opens to Rishus Rabim, and then Rashi brings from his Rebbe that maybe according to Shmuel you would also need a lechi in the middle where it bends. Tosfos has a different understanding of it, but anyway, so that was one machlokas. Then we had a second thing, which was we had a braisa that asked how you make an eruv in Rishus Rabim. And we said we don't really mean an actual Rishus Rabim, because for that you can't make an eruv. What we mean is actually a mavui mefulosh, a regular mavui that opens from one Rishus Rabim to another. You have a diagram on Vav Amud Beis, the second diagram in Tosfos illustrates that, where you have one Rishus Rabim, you have a parallel Rishus Rabim, and connecting them, you have a mavui. Not to be confused with the first diagram you have in Tosfos over there, which is something else, where the Rishus Rabim passes through the mavui. That's something else. But anyway, in the case of a mavui that goes from one Rishus Rabim to another, there was a braisa where the Tanakhama had said that you need a tzuras pesach at one end and a lechi record at the other end. Then we had Chananya saying that it's actually machlokas Beis Shammai Beis Hillel, and that according to Beis Hillel, which of course is going to be the halacha against Beis Shammai, you actually need a door at one end and a lechi record at the other. So those were the two, and then we had a machlokas, Rav and Shmuel, who is the halacha like? Rav said the halacha is like the Tanakhama, so all you would need is a tzuras pesach at one end and a lechi record at the other end of this open mavui, of this mavui mefulosh. Shmuel would hold like Hananiah's version of Beis Hillel, that is, that you actually need a door at one end. So now, we're in the middle of discussing like this. The Gemara had mentioned that there was a case of a mavui okum, of a bent mavui, where Rashi explains, you can see the diagram in Rashi on the previous Amud, that it's a U-shaped mavui. So unlike the previous discussion, which was about an L-shaped mavui, where each end opens to a different Rishus Rabim, here the two ends open to the same Rishus Rabim, and you have two bends in it. So we said that what they did is they applied this chumras of Rav and of Shmuel. Again, Rav would say that a bent mavui like that is considered a mavui mefulosh. Therefore, it's not just enough to have a lechi at each end. You have to have something in the middle as well where it bends. But if we followed Rav consistently, then we would say all you need is a tzuras pesach over there. On the other hand, Shmuel would say such a thing is considered a mavui sasum. You don't even need anything at the bends. All you need is a lechi at each end of the mavui, and maybe according to Rashi's Rebbe, you'd need a lechi in the middle. However, In this case, on the other hand, Shmuel, on the other, if we consider it a mavri mefulash as Rav does, then in turn Shmuel holds that a mavri mefulash requires a door at one end. So by combining together the chumras of Rav and Shmuel, we wind up with this mavri required doors at both of the ends. You can see in the diagram in Rashi over there, where he has over there the word delas, by which means a door, by each one of the bends, and a lechi at each of the open ends that open to Rosh Hashanah. So we were discussing then, so the Gemara was discussing then, how do you do that? How do you do the Chumrah of Rav and the Chumrah of Shmuel? Now, granted, I mean, those two Chumras don't necessarily contradict each other. They're two different machloikas in, but still, if we went consistently according to Rav or consistently according to Shmuel, we wouldn't need doors in there. If we went consistently according to Rav, all you'd need there is Tzodas HaPesach. If we went consistently according to Shmuel, you wouldn't need anything at all at the bends. When we say that you need doors, it comes out that you're doing that by the Chumrah of Rav and the Chumrah of Shmuel. And why are you doing that? So we actually brought a brisa that said that when it comes to a machlokas bis Shammah and bis Hillel, for example, you can't do that. You can't choose the kulos of both Shammah of both bis Shammah and bis Hillel, and you can't choose the Chumras of both bis Shammah and bis Hillel. So we're in the middle of that discussion. We're holding again 8 lines from the top of Zayin Amud Aleph. So we brought a couple of answers what it means then. What are the scenarios where you're allowed to follow the kulos of Bis Shammai and a Bis Hillel, or the chumras of Bis Shammai and Bis Hillel, rather than following one consistently? What we said is like this. The Braisa itself had said that that the halacha is like Bis Hillel, but if you want to follow Bis Shammai, then you can. So how does that fit? What does it mean? If the halacha is like Bis Hillel and you can't follow Bis Shammai? So we said one possibility is it means before the Baskol versus after the Baskol. We're going to learn this coming Shabbos, Bez Hashem, that a Baskol came out and said the halacha is like Bis Hillel. So before that came out, you were allowed to follow Bis Shammai, but after that, the halacha has been established like Bis Hillel, and you have to stick with Bis Hillel. Another possibility we said is Rabbi Yeshua anyway says in the famous story of Tanu Shalachnoi that we don't care about a Baskol. So therefore, according to him, even after that, you could still paskin like Bis Shammai if you wanted. Or another possibility, what we said is that the second part of the Braisa, when it says if you want to follow Bis Shammai, you could. If you want to follow Bis Hillel, it could. Doesn't mean Bis Shammai and Bis Hillel specifically. It means any other machloikas like that, where you have a series of machloikas in between one Tana and another, or between one Amora and the other. Then you can follow one of them consistently, but you can't follow each of them when it results in a kula, or each of them when it results in a chumra. So then the question is, mikol makom kasha. So anyway, the bottom line is then we have a kasha. So okay, we explain the braisa, but we still haven't explained why indeed in Nahauda, in the case of this U-shaped mavri, or Tosfos actually learns it was a T-shaped mavri, but anyway, why did we apply the chumras of both Rav and Shmuel and result in something which neither Rav or Shmuel would say, namely that you need doors at the bends of the mavri rather than just a tzuras ha-pesach according to Rav, or nothing, or a lechi at each of the bends according to Shmuel? The answer is Amar of Nachman Yitzchak Kulei Karav Avdua. Actually, what they did is they did follow Rav completely, consistently. The Amar of Huna, Amar Rav, Halacha Vein Murin came, because Rav Huna says in the name of Rav that when Rav says the Halacha is like the Tanakama of the Braisa, that you only need a Tzuras HaPesach at one end and a Lechi or Koda at the other end, then that is the halacha, but the Ein Modin Kain, we don't paskin like that. If somebody comes and asks a shaila, then we will tell them, follow Hananya and put up a door at one end. Now, therefore, Rav again considers this U-shaped mavri to be a mavri mefulosh, not like Shmuel, who would consider it to be a mavri sasum. And according to Rav, yes, technically a mavri mefulosh only requires a tzuras ha-pesach at one end and then a lechi or koda at the other end. However, that's ein modin kein. If you come and ask a shaila, Rav would still tell you, says Rav Huna, that you should put up a door. So if you have to put up a door, then there you go. So that's what they did. So in this case, there were two bends in the mavri, so they put up two doors. So it's not an inconsistent chumra. It's not partially going according to Rav and partly going according to Shmuel. It's completely going according to Rav, because even Rav himself agrees that even though technically the halacha is like the Tanakama, nevertheless, if you asked a shaila, you should paskin like Hananya. Sometimes it's not the only case. We have a lot of cases like that in the Gemara where we say something like that. Halacha ve'en moyen ken. Yeah, we had in Shabbos, we had something about that in connection with the halachas of Mila, for example. Yeah. It comes up here and there. Yeah. Okay. The question is Ula Rab Ada Bar Ava, Ula Rab Ada Bar Ava Bar Ava Omar Rav, Omar Halacha Omerin Ken Ma'ikul Meimar. Okay, that works out according to Rav Huna's understanding of Rav. But we also have Rav Ada Bar Ava, who says that Rav had said Halacha Omerin Ken, that not only the Halacha is like the Tanakhama, but we do actually paskin like that in practice. Well, then Ma'ikul Meimar. Then what do we say? Again, why did they use, then in that case, we're back to that in Nahadah, they apparently followed the Chumrah of Rav and the Chumrah of Shmuel and resulted in something which neither of them would say, namely that you need doors. So, and if Rav says that you actually practically paskin like the Tanakhama, even if somebody comes to ask a Shaila, then why are we following Shmuel at all? Why are we following Shmuel, who says that the halacha is like Hananiah at all? And the answer is, Amar of Shizbi, sort of Shizbi says like this, because with the Braisa, here's another answer to the Braisa. Again, we had the Braisa, that we had a problem with the Braisa, namely that it said, you can either follow Bis Shammai or Bis Hillel, but you can't follow the Kulos of both, and you can't follow the Chumras of both. Sort of Shizbi is saying, so besides all the answers that we had, that you could follow Bis Shammai only before the Baskol, or according to Rabbi Yeshua, you could follow it after the Baskol, or we don't mean that you could follow Bis Shammai, we just mean that you could, that when you have a similar Machlokas, you could follow any one opinion consistently. But now Rav Shizbi says, here's what it means. You know, when we say that you can't follow the chumras of two, for example, with Shammai Basilo would be, or the kulos for that matter, where those two kulos or those two chumras would actually contradict each other. In other words, where you have the same principle in halacha results in a kula in one place and a chumra in another place. Then you can't pick and choose and follow the kulos in both places or the chumras in both. An example of that is the machloikas with Shammai Basilo about a spine or a skull of a mess. Now we know like this. We know that there are parts of a mess that are matame. Almost any part of a mess is matame the mago of a masa, if you touch it or if you carry it. You also have then there are certain rules about what you need in order for it to be matame ba'oil. You have certain things that are matame, but we learned about the other day. We talked about, for example, when we talked about the Shiva Saminim and how they represent the different shiurim. In halacha, we said a bone the size of a grain of barley is matame b'mago of masa, but not b'oil. To be matame b'oil, when it comes to bones, you have a number of different possible criteria. What? One of them is Reb Binyan, but we're not getting into that right now. What we're going to focus on is, one of the things is if you have a complete skull or if you have a complete spine, then it's matame ba'oil. Now, what happens if the spine or the skull is missing part of it? Then it's not going to be matame ba'oil. But the question is, how much has to be missing? So the Mishnah says, "Ashedra v'hagogolas shechasru." If the spine or the skull are missing part of their substance, when it comes to the spine, how much has to be missing in order for it not to be matame ba'oil anymore? Bishama says two vertebrae of the spine have to be missing. If only one is missing, then it's still matame ba'oil. Bishil says even if only one vertebra is missing, then already it's enough not to be matame ba'oil. And over Gogolos, what about when it comes to a skull? Then Bishama Omim Kimloy Makdeach. Then Bishamai says if there's missing the size of a drill hole, then it's not Matame Ba'oil anymore. Now, when we say a drill, obviously drills make holes in different sizes. The Mishnah goes on to explain over there that we're talking about the kind of drill they used in the Bis Mikdash, which actually they drilled fairly large holes with it. So we're not just talking about this is the kind of small hole that you put a screw or a nail into. We're talking about a larger hole. Anyway, Bis Shammai says, if that amount of the skull is missing, then the skull is not matame ba'oil anymore. Or Bis Hillel Omrim Kedishi Notam Anachai V'Yomus. Bis Hillel says the amount that if you remove that amount from a living person's skull, then they would die. It may depend on which part of the head, though apparently not, but actually, no. So Tosfos actually discusses over here. The question is, I mean, Bis Shammai also is basing themselves on the fact that if you remove Kimloy Makdeach of the skull, then the person is going to die. So what is Bis Hillel saying anything different? So Tosfos explains, that you could take, you could distinguish between, you could distinguish between where part of the skull is missing because it was drilled out or cut out versus where part of it was missing because like the bone rotted away or something, or, you know, there was a, you know, the person had a disease or something that caused part of the bone to disappear. Anyway, the point is that in, so Bas Hillel is being makel on both of these things then. So the Shedra, they're saying, you know, that only one vertebra is missing and already it's not Matame Bar Hillel. The amount they're saying for the skull is also smaller than what Bas Shammai is saying. Bas Shammai is saying the size of the drill that they used in the Bas Mikdash, and Bas Hillel is saying the amount that if you remove it from a living person's skull, they're going to die. Actually, Tosfos mentions in this connection also, the fact is it's not really, the skull is not really in and of itself a vital organ. The point is that under the skull, you have the membranes surrounding the brain and ultimately the brain itself, which we're going to get to in a second into the halachas of Tosfos, right? So Tosfos says that actually, you have the little note in Tosfos over here in smaller in smaller print where Tosfos says on the face of it, you sometimes find people that a large amount of their skull was removed and nothing happened and they still survived. So Tosfos says that actually when we're talking about over here part of the skull being removed, we mean that also the upper membrane, the outer membrane of the brain was removed as well. In medicalese they call it the dura mater. You have in modern medicalese you have three membranes that surround the brain. Halacha considers them only two because one of them is basically just like a mesh kind of. So we ignore it in halacha. We just consider it part of one of the other ones. But you have a thicker one that's more like parchment, and then you have a thinner one that's actually attached to the surface of the brain. We're talking about here about the outer one. Don't try this at home. So Tosfos says that maybe the outer membrane, the dura mater of a person, is stronger than that of an animal. Anyway, whatever the point is. So you have that machlokes again. So Bas Shammai is, when it comes to the halachas of tumah v'tahara of tumas mes, Bas Shammai is being machmir. In the case of the spine, you have to have two vertebrae missing for it not to be matame b'ohel. And in the case of the skull, you need a larger hole, the size of the drill that they used in the Bas Mikdash. In the Bas Mikdash, because they had to drill holes, because they had to build or whatever. Yeah. Then I don't know. I guess. Okay. Yeah, I mean, the Mizbeach itself, they're not going to be drilling holes in. But for example, you have, let's say, when they're fixing holes in the walls or putting up, for example, it might have been, let's say, for example, when they have the gold plating inside the Heichel, the gold plate. What we actually have is, you have, and in the Psukim it describes that they had, so you have the walls of the Bas Mikdash are built out of stone, then you have wooden panels attached to the stone, and then you have gold leaf attached to the wood. Rashi, in the very various places on Tanakh, explains that you can't attach wood, you can't attach gold directly to stone, it won't stick, therefore you need the wooden panels in between. So maybe they use these drills in order to drill holes in order to put on the wooden panels, whatever it was, whatever they needed to drill holes for. I guess you're allowed to use a metal drill, I don't see why not. Okay, whatever. You're not allowed to use metal on site. So okay, that's true. So maybe they would have to pre-drill these holes before they get on site. You're also not allowed to use metal on the Mizbeach. So fine, I guess if they had to drill holes in the Mizbeach, for whatever reason, they would have to use a drill made out of a non-metal material. I don't know. Maybe. All right, anyway, let's go on. On site on the Bas Mikdash, they're not supposed to use metal tools. You find by the first Bas Mikdash, for example, that says they quarried them and then shaped them in the quarry where they first cut them out, and then they brought them on site. Okay, anyway, let's go on. V'amar of Yehuda amar Shmuel v'chein la'inyan trefa. So, Rabbi Yehuda says in the name of Shmuel that exactly the same machlokas and about the spine and the skull, the Bas Shammai and Bas Hillel have the same machlokas when it comes to what makes an animal trefa. So now what do you have? So Bas Shammai says that if two vertebrae are missing from the spine, then it's missing enough that it's not matame b'ohel. That means, though, also, when it comes to an animal, their Bas Shammai is makel. If only one vertebra is missing, the animal is still kosher. Only if two vertebrae are missing is it teref. Meanwhile, Bas Hillel there by teref is going to be machmir. The same thing when it comes to the skull. Bas Shammai is going to say you need a larger amount of the skull to be missing in order for it not to be matame b'ohel. The result is Bas Shammai is also going to say by the same svara that until you have a hole of that size in an animal's head, the animal is not going to be terefa. Meanwhile, Bas Hillel is going to say it's a smaller size. So there you have. So that's what Rav Shizbi is saying. When you have something like that, where if you, so what's going to happen? So if you're going to try to follow both kulos of Beis Shammai, Beis Hillel, then that's what the Braisa is saying, you're a Rasha. Because one way or the other, then you're doing something wrong. Either you're paskining that an animal that is treif is not treif, or you're paskining that a bone, a skull, or whatever that is metame ba'oil is not metame ba'oil. And if you go according to the chumris of both them, then it's a ksil b'choshe cholich, then he's a fool who's going in darkness. Because again, then pick one or the other. But with Abel, hey, but going back to the Gemara, Abel, Hechad, Le Sasri, Hadadi. But if the two kulas do not contradict each other, Avdinan, or the two chumras, then Avdinan, then you can do that. In this case, in the case of this U-shaped mabui, yes, the result of doing the two chumras comes out something that neither Rav or Shmuel would say, but the individual chumras don't contradict each other. You could say that a mabui, that you could say that a bent mabui is considered a mabui mefulosh, as Rav does, and still say, like Shmuel, that a mabui mefulosh requires a door, or you could do the other way around. So therefore, the two of them don't contradict each other, and therefore, now they followed both of them. If you took the both kulos, then you would say that it's considered a mavui sasum, and that a mavui sasum doesn't require anything at the bends. All you would, according to Rashi, you wouldn't require anything. According to Rashi's Rebbe, you would require a lechi, and then you need a lechi at each of the open ends, of course. Yeah. Right, well, maybe not even anything over there, according to Shmuel, in the openings, for sure, you need a lechi, yeah, but in the bends, not necessarily. Okay. So the question is, v'heicha desasri ahadori layavdinan. Okay, so you're telling me that if you have two incompatible chumras or two incompatible kulas, then you can't follow both of them. Masivra Mesharshia. Mesharshia says, I have a contradiction. We learn in a b'raisa, maisivra b'akiba, shalikit esrig b'echad b'shvat. It happened once that Rabbi Akiva picked an esrog. Or actually, Rashi says kola ilon kari esrog. So it means, according to Rashi, not necessarily did he just pick one esrog. He may have picked a whole bunch of esrogim off the tree. He picked the esrog tree clean of fruit. Whatever it is, this took place on the first of Shvat. And it was in a year. It was in the third year or the sixth year of a Shemitah cycle. Now we know what happens like this. You have Machloikas, Bes Shammai, Bes Hillel. When is Rosh Hashanah Leilonis? Bes Shammai says Aleph Shvat, Bes Hillel says Tesvav Shvat. You also have like this. Most fruits, you don't go according to when you pick them anyway. Most fruits, you go according to when they reach Shlish, when they reach one third of their growth. There's a long and somewhat complex sugya about this in Masechta Rosh Hashanah. But when it comes to an esrog is a special case, unique among fruits, that according to most Tanoim, you go according to when it's picked. So now when it's picked determines what year it belongs to. Now, if it belongs to the second year, then we say that it's good that you give Maiser Sheni from it. If it belongs to the third year, instead you give Maiser Ani from it. In this case, Rabbi Akiva picked the fruit on the first of Shvat, v'nag be'bezi sodin, echad k'divi be'Beis Shammai, ve'echad k'divi be'Beis Hillel. And he did two Maisers in it, one according to Beis Shammai, one according to Beis Hillel. So there you see, he's doing two incompatible chumras, because if it belongs to the second year, then it doesn't belong to the third year, and vice versa. So he should be picking one opinion or the other, and he's not. And obviously, Rabbi Akiva is not a ksil b'chosh ha'cholich. So what's going on over here? By the way, Tosfos points out, so what did he actually do? Tosfos brings from the Yerushalmi. What he did is like this. He took ma'aser from it on a t'nai. He said, if this really belongs to the second year, then what I'm taking off now is going to be ma'aser sheni. If it really belongs to the third year, what I'm taking off now is ma'aser ani. In case it's ma'aser sheni, I'm going to redeem it on coins. And then take the coins to Yerushalayim, or if it was after the Churban, then you just destroy the coins. And then he took the fruit and gave it to the poor people as Maaser Ani. So that way he's covered in both cases. But again, the question is, why is he doing that? The answer is, Rabbi Akiva gemore istapikle. The answer is, Rabbi Akiva had a suffix. Rabbi Akiva meant to follow Beis Hillel, but he had a suffix about what he had learned. V'lo yoda I Beis Hillel b'chad b'shvat omer, I b'chameseh b'shvat omer. He didn't know. Like this, you have the machloikas in the first Mishnah of Rosh Hashanah. When is Rosh Hashanah le'ilonis? Beis Shammai says, Aleph Shvat. Beis Hillel says, Tesvav b'shvat. He wasn't sure which one it is. Is it Beis Shammai said Aleph Shvat, or is it Beis Hillel said Aleph Shvat? So because of that suffix, So therefore he had to go lechumra. So not based on that he wanted to follow two incompatible chumras, but because Itaka didn't know what the Mishnah says. Now, why can't he just, okay, you have to decide one way or the other. So some of the Rishonim say, because when you don't have anybody to ask, then you're entitled to follow both chumras. When are we saying you're ksilba choshecholech? If you have who to ask, and you should, the Rashba talks about, for example, then go and ask. Don't just follow the chumras blindly. Go and ask who the halacha is like. But in this case, if Rabbi Akiva has a suffix in the wording of the Mishnah, then he doesn't have any, there's nobody, well, okay, there you have the Yisoda Mishnah, whatever it is. The point is, the Mishnah as it existed at that time, which was still Baal Peh, he knew there's a machlokas b'shama b'silul, but he wasn't sure which opinion is which. He didn't have anybody to ask. Another way of looking at it, actually, the Sfasemis, I think, says, is since we said before that there was a baskol that came out and said the halacha is like b'silul, then in a regular machlokas, if it had been a machlokas of any other tanoim, and Rabbi Akiva wasn't sure which one said which, then fine, he himself could decide, I decide that the halacha should be like this opinion, regardless which Tana it is, or I could decide that the correct version is such and such. But here, where Basco came out and said the halacha is like Basilo, then he doesn't have any, if he holds, not like Rabbi Yeshua, that you have to follow the Basco, then he doesn't have any wiggle room. So therefore, that's why he did the two Meisers. So in that kind of case, you could do that, but not otherwise. Okay. And then he gave whatever part, whatever of the Esrogim he had to give to the poor people, as we said, because it could be Maisa Oni. The rest of them, after he gave Truma and Maisa, he could eat normally. I mean, Truma, he's going to give. No, it was Esrogim. Rashi just says it was a tree of Esrogim, implying it's not just one individual Esrog that he picked. He picked a bunch of Esrogim. And then he took, so Truma and Maisa Rishon is going to be the same regardless. So there's no suffix in that. Maisa Sheni versus Maisa Oni, that's where there was the suffix. And that's what Tosfos says from the Yerushalmi, that he did that. He gave it on a Tanai. He redeemed it in case it's Maisa Sheni. And he gave it to the poor people in case it's Maisa Oni. We don't know. It doesn't say. All right, let's go on. Well, yeah, but Pashas, he took him to eat him. I mean, why else is he picking an Esrog on Rosh Chodesh Shvat? He's not picking, or to make jam or whatever. Yeah, he's not picking it to save for Sukkos. It's not gonna last until the following Sukkos. Nah. No, but Pashas. Yeah, no. No, but Pashas, he picked it in order to eat. They nowadays it's somewhat less common to eat Esrog, but we still have, after Sukkos, many people make theirs into jelly or candied Esrog or whatever. So maybe he was doing the same thing. Yeah. Okay. No, not at all. No. I mean, it can be used for a mitzvah. It doesn't have to be. You don't have to save a surrogate for the mitzvah, no. And b'chlal, you find in many places in Shas, you find that they commonly ate a surrogate. Maybe they didn't eat the pulp of the esrog, or your average esrog doesn't have very much pulp. Maybe they ate the peel. Again, maybe they can't eat it or whatever. But you have a gemara at the end of Avodah Zarah that mentions Shabur, that mentions King Shabur cutting up an Esrog and giving a piece to Rabbi Yehuda and another piece to somebody else, to another Yid who was there. You have a it could be that Esrogim tasted better. I don't know. Yeah, Rabbi Yehuda didn't eat, so Bati Batovi ate, and then Shabur stuck the knife into the ground and then cut a piece for Rabbi Yehuda. Yeah, so you have that. You have a Gemara in Ksubus that mentions that a woman, if a woman is pregnant, she eats Esrog, then her child will be very fragrant. You have different places all over. You have also in Kiddushin where Rabbi Nachman offers Rabbi Yehuda an Esrog to eat. Yeah, apparently it was a common thing to eat Esrog. Maybe they were sweeter, I don't know. Okay, anyway. Okay. Yosef, continuing on the topic of this machloikas, again, we had the Braisa, we had the Tanakama, the Braisa and Vav Amud Aleph, where the Tanakama had said that if you have a Mavri Mufulosh, then you, so the Braisa had said, Ketzin Ma'avin Rosh Hasarabim, we said we don't mean a real Rosh Hasarabim, we mean a Mavri that connects to Rosh Hasarabims. So the Tanakama had said, you need a Tzuras Pesach at one end and a Lechi or Koda at the other end. And you have Hananya saying that it's a machloikas, Beshama Besilul, with Beshama saying you need doors at both ends, and Besilul saying you need a door at one end and a lechi or koda at the other end. So Yosef Rabbi Yosef Kamei Rav Huna, Rabbi Yosef was sitting as a Talmud in front of Rav Huna, the Yosef Akarma, he was sitting and saying as follows, Amar of Yehuda Amar Rav, machloikas bisrati mikan, or srati mikan, or plati mikan, or plati mikan. The machloikas is specifically if you have a Rosh Hasarabim at each end of this mavri. A sratia is a main street, a platia is like the word plaza in English. So, So it doesn't really matter. The point is, either one is a Rosh Hashanah. A Sratya is like a highway. A Platya is like a big opening. Like for example, let's say you could, to think of it in modern terms, a Sratya would be like Eastern Parkway. A Platya would be like Grand Army Plaza. So either way, they're Rosh Hashanah. So if you have a sratya on each side of the mavui or a platya on each side of the mavui, that's where we're saying that you have the machlokas whether you need a tzuras a pesach at one end or a door. Yeah. Okay. Times Square. Maybe. Yeah. Okay. Whatever. Let's not. Yeah. 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 Okay. Whatever. Aval sratya mikan or bika mikan. But if you have one side of it is a Rosh Hashanah and the other side is a bika, which is a valley full of fields, which is not a Rosh Hashanah, it's a karmelis. Oi bika mikan or bika mikan. Or if you have a valley on each side of the mavui, so you only have a karmelis on each side, then everybody would agree, says Rav Yehuda, oisat tzuras ha-pesach mikan v'lechi mikor mikan. Then all you need is a tzuras ha-pesach on one end and a lechi or koda at the other end. So the question is, why do we need to mention both cases? Why do we need to mention for the case where we makel, where you have a sratya on one side and a bika on the other versus where you have a bika on both sides? The question is, so hashta, hashta srati mikan or bika mikan, oisla tzuras ha-pesach mikan, the lechi mikora mikan. If you're saying that even where there's a rishus harabim at one end, you're able to get away with a tzuras ha-pesach at one end and a lechi or koda at the other end, bika mikan or bika mikan mibaya, would it be needed to say that? Would it be necessary to say if there's a bika on each side? Obviously, in that case, there's no reason to be more machmir than when there was a Rosh Hashanah on one side. So just say that there's a case where there's a Rosh Hashanah on one side and a bika on the other side. Why even bother mentioning the case where there's a bika on each side? Tosfos says, the Gemara doesn't want to say that the chiddush is that in that case you need a tzuras ha-pesach, because there's no reason to think that not. It is a mavi mefulash after all. There's no reason to think you could get away with a lechi at each end. So the answer is hachi kama. You're right. What Rabbi Yehuda means is sratya mikan or bika mikan. If there is a sratya on one side and a bika on the other, nasik bika mikan or bika mikan, then it's as if there was a bika on both sides. Meaning, we don't say because one side of the mavri is a Rosh Hashanah, therefore maybe we should be more machmir. No, we say even in that case, you only need a tzuras ha-pesach at one end and a lechi or koda at the other end. And the Sfasema says in that case, the chiddush is also that in that case, obviously there's a bika on each side, you can pick which side you're going to put the tzuras ha-pesach and which side you're going to put the lechi. You would think if one side is a Rosh Hashanah, maybe you don't have that flexibility. Maybe you davka have to put the tzuras ha-pesach on the Rosh Hashanah end. And the chiddush is you don't have to. You can put the tzuras ha-pesach on either end you want and the lechi or koda on the other end. Okay. So that was what Rabbi Yosef reported that in the name of Rabbi Yehuda, who in turn said it in the name of Rab. And then, Umasayim ba Mishmeid Rabbi Yehuda, then Rabbi Yosef continued with a follow-up statement in the name of Rabbi Yehuda without saying that the second one is in the name of Rav. That this follow-up statement says like this, Im hoya mavui kola l'rechava, if the mavui opens out into a rechava, ein sarach klum, then you don't need anything. A rechava, Rashi learns over here, generally speaking, you have like this. Now, we've been talking about a chotzer all this time. A chotzer is something where the front doors of the house open out into it. So you have it's a courtyard that surrounds the house, and in particular, you go in and out of your house through the chotzer. So when you're going from the street to your house, you walk, you go from the street into the mavri. From the mavri, you go into your chotzer. You walk across your chotzer, and then you open your front door and you go into your house, and vice versa when you're going out. As opposed to then you have something which the Gemara calls rechava shachori abatim, a backyard, which is not something that you usually walk through to get from the houses to the street. You use it like you would use a backyard. You use it for storage, you use it for barbecues, you use it for whatever, but there you don't actually walk through it on a regular basis. So Rashi learns that that's what we're talking about over here. The rechava we're talking about over here is where is one behind the houses. So now what you have is you can see the diagram in Rashi like this. You have the mavri. The open end of the mavui faces faces Rosh Hashanah. Then behind the mavui, now actually the diagram we have here in Rashi shows one end of the mavui closed off. That's not really right. That end of the mavui that's facing towards Rabbeinu Hananel is actually supposed to be open. Rabbi Yaakov Emden points that out. So you actually have like this. One end of the Mavui is open to Rishas Rabbim. The other end, where usually it would be closed, instead is open to this Rechava. It's not open to a Chatzar. It's open to a Rechava, which is behind the houses. And then in turn, that Rechava has an opening in it that goes out to another Rishas Rabbim. So you could conceivably walk straight through. You could walk through the Mavui from one end, going through the Mavui, walking through this Rechava, and end up in the other Rishos Rabbim. So Rabbi Yosef is reporting that Rabbi Yehuda said that no, if the Mavui, which one end of it is Mefulosh Rishos Rabbim, and the other end of it opens into this Rechava, then even though the Rechava itself has an opening to another Rishos Rabbim, there's no problem, and Ein Sarich Klum, you don't need anything else, you don't need to do anything at the Rechava end, or you still treat it as though it was a Mavui Sasum. Even though you could actually walk all the way through, we consider it as if it was a Mavui Sasum, and therefore all you need is a Lechi or Koda at the Rishos Rabbim end. Okay. Now, Amale Abaya Rabbi Yosef. So Abaya points out to Rabbi Yosef like this. Now, Rabbi Yehuda, the Amora, learnt by both Rav and Shmuel. So sometimes when we have a statement of Rabbi Yehuda without saying who it's from, we don't know, does it come from Rav or does it come from Shmuel? So now in this case, again, we had Rabbi Yosef first saying a statement of Rabbi Yehuda in the name of Rav, that if the Mavui has a Rishos Rabbim at one end and a Bika at the other end, or a Bika at both ends, then you only need a Tzuras HaPesach at one end and a Lechi Ukarot at the other. We have another statement that he's saying in the name of Rabbi Yehuda, but not saying whether it's in the name of Rav or in the name of Shmuel, that if you have this Mavui that opens to the Rechava and the Rechava opens to another Rishos Rabbim, then you don't need anything else at the end that opens to the Rechava. So in the diagram in Rashi over here, so at the end of the Mavui that's facing towards Rabbeinu Hananel, that end is supposed to be open. You need a Lechi Rekoda there as usual. At the back end of it, which opens into the Rechava, Rabbi Yehuda is saying you don't need anything over there. So Amalei Abaya L'Rabbi Yosef Hodir Rav Yehuda Shmuel. So Abaya points out to Rabbi Yosef, this last statement about the Mavui and the Rechava that you're quoting in the name of Rabbi Yehuda, it must actually be from Shmuel. It can't be from Rav. De Rav, because if you were to think that it comes from Rav, Kasha de Rav ad Rav betauti, then you would wind up with Rav contradicting himself on two different points. So if we say that the second statement about the Mavui and the Rechava comes from Shmuel, no problem. Rav and Shmuel are able to argue about this just like they argue by other dinim involving a Mavui. But if you said that this statement of Rabbi Yehuda actually comes from Rav, who was Rabbi Yehuda's first Rebbe, then you would have a problem. So necessarily it has to be from Shmuel. What are the contradictions? Number one, the Amar Rabbi Yirmiyahu ba Abba Amar Rav, Mavui shenifretz b'miloye l'chotzer, if a Mavui is completely broken open to a chotzer, the nifretz a chotzer kenegdoi, and the chotzer in turn has a breach in it that opens out to Rishos Rabbim, and the breach, Rashi says, is even less than 10 amos. So chotzer muteres u'mavui osur. The chotzer will still be mutter to carry in, but the Mavui will not. Now, what is this? This is based on like this. So again, the scenario we're talking about over here is the same thing as the diagram we had in Rashi, except imagine that instead of that being a Rechava, it was a Chotzer. It was an actual Chotzer, where people walk through it to get in and out of their houses. So now, what it is like... The Mavui, so that's the thing. So we're saying, according to Rabbi Yehuda, we consider it as if it was a Mavui Sasum. According to Rav, though, it sounds like we're saying it would be considered. So what we have is like this.
Is this thing here or not?
That it's not supposed to be there. That thing that you have facing towards. Rabbi Yaakov Emden points out in his notes in the back of the Gemara that there's a mistake in that diagram that's supposed to. Right. So it's the same scenario, except that before we were talking about a rechava, and now we're talking about a chatzar. Now, there's a different explanation that Rabbi Hanano gives, but we'll get into that in a little bit. But first, let's deal with according to Rashi. That the difference is, again, a chatzar is something that you walk through to get to and from your houses, and a rechava is not. A rechava is a backyard, which you use for storage or whatever, but you don't actually walk through it on a regular basis. Now, you have like this. When you consider, if you look at that diagram in Rashi, you also find like this. Again, picture that instead of that rechava, take out the word rechava and imagine that you have the word chotzer there instead. Now, what you have is like this. The chotzer, why are you allowed to carry in the chotzer? You have two things. Number one, relative to the mavoi, the chotzer still has a wall. Because when you think of it, you look at it over there, the mavoi is narrower than the chatzar. Therefore, if you're standing in the chatzar and looking towards the mavoi, you see walls on both sides. So you have an entrance over there. It's not completely open to the mavoi. And then when it comes to the Rosh Hashanah side, because the breach is less than 10 amos wide, so it's still considered a Pesach, and therefore you're allowed to carry in the chatzar. And what about the fact that you have that the chotzer is open to the mavoi? That's not a problem because the mavoi doesn't make the chotzer open. The mavoi does not make the chotzer also to carry in. What it is if you don't make a shittuf mavoyus between the chatzeris and the mavoi, you can't carry in the mavoi, but you can still carry in the chatzeris. So in this case, the fact that the chotzer is open to the mavoi and people are able to walk from the mavoi into the chotzer, that doesn't aser the chotzer. So they made an Eruv Chatzeres between them, so they're allowed to carry in the Chatzer. But the Mavui, the fact that the Mavui is open into it, that does not aser the... So now what happens is the other way around. The people from the Chatzer normally walk through the Mavui, because after all, up until now, the Chatzer did not have an entrance to Rosh Hashanabim. That only developed now after the wall crumbled away. Up until now, they were walking out through the Mavui. So therefore, the mavoi is going to be also for them to carry it unless they make a shit of mavois. But it's not going to be the other way around. The fact that they didn't doesn't prevent them from carrying in their chotzer. Shit of mavois is that people from each of the chatzeres that surround the mavoi chip in with food, and then they place the food in one of the chatzeres surrounding the mavoi. Yeah, we're going to learn more details about that. We're going to talk about in the seventh and eighth perek of our Masech the Best Hashem. Okay. Anyway, so again. So Rav is saying that you're not allowed to carry in that mavoi. You are allowed to carry in the chotzer for the reasons that we said, because the chotzer, again, when you the chotzer has walls, so that visible walls towards the mavoi. The mavoi itself can't aser the chotzer because the chotzer itself, they have an eruv chatzeris, and the mavoi, the fact that the chotzer is open to the mavoi can't make the chotzer aser. Now you have a concept which we're going to deal with as we go through the Masechta called Nifratz L'Mokum Ha'Asula. If you have a place where you're allowed to carry, but it's opened up to a place where you're not allowed to carry, then you're not allowed to carry in the first one. But in this case, the Mavoi is not able to do that to the Chatzar. Therefore, the result, because again, the Chatzar still has walls, still has visible walls, it's not completely open to the Mavoi. If the Chatzar and the Mavoi were the same width, then yes, you would have a problem. But because they're not, because the mavoi is narrower than the chotzer, and the chotzer therefore has visible walls towards the mavoi, then therefore it's not nifrat l'makom asula. The fact that it has a breach towards the shadabim again is not a problem, because less than 10 amos wide. So you're allowed to carry in the chotzer, but you're not allowed to carry in the mavoi. Now, the question is, Abaye says, v'amai, if you were going to say that what Rabbi Yehuda is saying, going back to the case of the Rechava, if you were going to say that Rabbi Yehuda's case of the Rechava was in the name of Rav, and Rav would say that in that case you were allowed to carry in the Mavoi, so why? Why would the case where it opens to a Chotzer be any different than the case where it opens to a Rechava? Why would you say that if it opens to a Chotzer, Rav would not allow you to carry in that Mavoi, but if it opens into a Rechava, it would? So obviously, Abaye says, It must be that that's one possible contradiction we would have, which shows therefore that Rabbi Yehuda's statement that Rabbi Yosef quoted about it opening to a rechava must be that Rabbi Yehuda said it in the name of Shmuel, not in the name of Rav. Okay. So that's one, and then we're going to get to, as we go through the sugya, we're going to see what the other potential contradiction was. So Rabbi Yosef says, Anola Yadina, I actually don't know whether Rabbi Yehuda said it in the name of Rav or Shmuel. But what I do know is Uvda Havib Dura Didavasa, there was a case in a village of shepherds where you had exactly this kind of thing. Mavo Shakola Lorachava Hava. You had the scenario that we talked about, that Rashi diagram, where you had a Mavo that one end is open to a Rishasarabim and the other end is open to a Rechava, and the Rechava in turn is open to Rishasarabim. The Osala Kamed Rabbi Yehuda, and the case was brought to Rabbi Yehuda. What do we do? Veloyatsuche Velemidi. And Rabbi Yehuda didn't require them to do anything at the end that opens to a Rechava. So therefore he says, so I know for a fact that Rabbi Yehuda is saying that you don't need anything there. So if you, Abai, are telling me that this would contradict something that Rav said, okay, to heavy mishmei de Shmuel, like kasha midi, then fine, let it be in the name of Shmuel, and there's no kasha. I know for a fact Rabbi Yehuda said this, because he actually passed in this way. You want to tell me that it would contradict something Rav says, fine, we know Rabbi Yehuda learned by Shmuel as well, so I'm comfortable with saying that Rabbi Yehuda learned this from Shmuel. I have no problem with that. However, continues the Gemara, Hashta de Omale Rav Sheshes Rav Shmuel Ba'aba Ba'amila Rav Yosef Ba'aba. Now, though, we have another detail that Rav Sheshes said to Rav Shmuel Ba'aba, or some say to Rav Yosef Ba'aba. Rav Sheshes says to him, Asbaralach, let me explain, because I also learned by Rav, and I learned what the situation is over here. That it depends. When Rav is saying you can't carry in the mavui, it depends. Sometimes it's osur, sometimes it's mutter. It depends whether the people who live around, who live in that chotzer, made an eruv or a shituf with the people in the mavui, the people in the other chatzeres around the mavui. Meaning, in other words, that if they made an eruv, in other words, Rav Sheshes is saying the reason why Rav is saying in the case that Abaya brought that if the mavi is open to the chotzer and the chotzer in turn is open to Rosh Hashanah, the reason why Rav is saying you can't carry in the mavi, nothing to do with the question of the pirza, nothing to do with the fact that it's open to the chotzer and the chotzer in turn is open to Rosh Hashanah. It has to do with Erevin. It has to do with the software of Erev, right? The food. Meaning, in other words, that the reason is because the people who live in the Chotzer, if they don't make an Erev, then we have, again, the Mavui is completely open to the Chotzer. When you look from this from the Mavui, you don't see any opening. You don't see any walls that separate it from the Chotzer because the walls are only on the other side. Therefore, what happens is the people in the chotzer make it also to carry in the mavui. So not like we said before. That the mavui, the problem would be because the people of the chotzer walk out through the mavui. Rather, the reason is because they didn't make an eruv chatzeris. Because they didn't make an eruv with the rest of the mavui. And on the other hand, the chotzer is still going to be mutter. The chotzer is still going to be mutter because, again, the chotzer themselves made an eruv, and the mavui is not asuring. So nothing to do with the question of pirtzis or not. So once we say that, then the rav nami lekasha. Then we don't have to say. Then we could even say that Rabbi Yehuda's statement about the rechava is not a contradiction to Rav. We could, after all, say that Rabbi Yehuda learned it by Rav. And kan she'irvu b'nei chotzer in b'nei mavi kan she'la irvu, because we could say again that there's a difference whether they made an eruv or not. So the case that Rabbi Yehuda Paskin in the village of the shepherds, that was the case was that they had made an eruv, and a rechava, Rashi, again, Rashi is learning, the rechava is a backyard. Nobody walks through it anyway. You don't need to make an eruv there in the first place. So therefore, that would be the difference between a chotzer and a rechava. The difference would be a rechava, you don't need to make an eruv. So it's strictly a question of, are there pirtzis or not? Rav has no problem because of the pirtzis. His whole problem is because of the eruv. If it's a rechava, it doesn't matter how many people live. It's only the backs of the houses face the rechava, and they don't regularly use it. That's okay, so the road behind a bungalow colony, maybe that would be an example of a chava shara chora about them. Okay. Anyway, the point is that's the difference is, again, a chotzer people use regularly for living space. They do things that they can't do indoors out in the chotzer. You have in various other gemaras, it mentions, for example, they would often have their oven out in the chotzer for baking and cooking. If a person is raising chickens, they would often raise it in the chotzer, that sort of thing. So a chotzer was kind of an extension of your house, as opposed to, and more to the point, you walk through it regularly when you're going from your house out to the street and when you're coming in from the street to your house. The house opens out into the chutzah, as opposed to the rechava shachar abatim. It's a, there may or may not be a back door into it, but whether there is or not, the point is you don't use it on a regular basis. You use it mostly for storage, maybe you use it for the occasional thing or whatever, but you don't use it on a regular basis. Therefore, you don't need an eruv, and therefore, so that's the difference. So in the case of the shepherd's village, it was a rechava. That's why, and the original thing we brought from Rabbi Yehuda is that it was a rechava. That's why you don't need an eruv of food. All you need is to make sure that it's set up, that the setup is correct. So fine, the setup is correct because Rab has no problem as far as piritzis in this case. The setup is, again, that you have the mavoi opening to the rechava, where the rechava is wider than the mavoi, and then in the back wall of the rechava, away from the mavoi, opens to Rosh Hashanah. So we're saying that, the open end of the mavoi towards Rosh Hashanah needs a lechi. The other end doesn't need anything. The rechava end of the mavoi doesn't need anything, right? On the other hand, when you have a chotzer, then you need an eruv over there. So we don't have to say that Rabbi Yehuda is talking only according to Shmuel. He could be talking according to Rav as well. Rabbi Hananel has a whole different explanation of this, and Tosfos discusses it at some length, and other Rishonim discuss it at some length. He learns that the Rechava actually is something that people use regularly for walking back and forth from their houses, so it is similar to the Chatzar. So he learns the whole Sugya completely differently, that would basically, to begin with, We were assuming that it's mutter whether you made an eruv or not, and now we're saying that it's a difference of whether you made an eruv or not. If you made an eruv, then it's mutter, and if not, then it's aser. The chotzer midaraisa is a rosh hashayachid, but midrabanan we consider it. You can't carry in it unless you make an eruv chatzeres, unless the people who live in the houses that open up into the chotzer make an eruv chatzeres. Okay. Continues the Gemara. Ulamai de solik adaitin meikra ben sheirvu ben shela irvu pligi. Okay, let's go back to our original assumption. Fine. We're saying that Rav Sheshes said that you can say that Rav himself would make a distinction whether the people of the Chotzer made an eruv or with the Mavri or not. But let's go back to our original assumption. We said, we started with the assumption that Rav would be saying it's also to carry in this mavui, even if they made an eruv, because the problem, according to that way of looking at it, was not whether there's an eruv or not, but the fact that the mavui is open, it's a mavui mafulish, and therefore it's not good enough to just have a lechi at one end, you need a tzuras pesach at the other end. If we go according to that, ben sheiruv, ben shela eruv pligi, where we said that they're arguing whether they made an eruv or whether they did not make an eruv, because the problem is the pirtza, then eruv b'may pligi or b'shaloi eruv b'may pligi. Then what is the underlying machlokas? Why would Rav and Shmuel be, or if we assumed, again, that Rabbi Yehuda's statement was in the name of Shmuel, which would mean that Rav and Shmuel are arguing about this mavui, if it's considered mavui mefulosh or mavui she'en mefulosh, what would be the svaris that they're arguing about whether we would consider it mefulosh or not? The answer is like this. When it comes to if no eruv was made, and the question is whether it's a pirtza or not, in other words, whether it's considered a mavri mefulosh, the question would be like this. We have like this. We know that a mavri has to have a lechi or a korda. What happens if the lechi is placed in such a way that it's not visible from inside the mavui, but it's visible if you're standing outside the mavui? So imagine you have a regular case. You have a mavui. You have a mavui over here. You have the open end of the mavui to Rosh Hashanah. Let's say instead of putting the lechi over here, inside the doorway of the mavui, let's say you put it out here, for example. So it's not visible when you're standing inside the mavui, but if you're standing in Rosh Hashanah, then you see a lechi standing there. Does that count or not? Now in this. Well, that's the question. So does it count or not? So now, in this, we're actually going to have later on Testament Days, we're going to have a machloikas on this. So now, what happens over here? When you have the mavui opening out into the chotzer, and remember, in the diagram in Rashi, the chotzer was wider than the mavui. So if you stand in the chotzer, again, you have walls on both sides towards the mavui, those could count as lechis. But those are only visible when you're standing outside the mavui in the chotzer. If you're standing in the mavui, you don't see them, because when you're standing in the mavui, it's completely open to the chotzer. The walls go this way, towards the outside. So does that count as a lechi for the mavui or not? So that would be the argument. Shmuel would say that it counts that it counts as a lechi. And Rav would say it. So actually Rashi says the other way around. So what it is is Rav would say that those walls on the side make it counted that the chotzer now has an entrance to the mavui. And therefore, the result would be, now, like this though, this chotzer up until now did not regularly. So up until now, this chotzer regularly used the mavui. The other way around. This particular chotzer, it's poru. The wall broke open. So up until now, the people of that chotzer were getting in and out towards Rosh Hashanah some other way through the regular opening that they have to Rosh Hashanah or through some other doorway or whatever. Only now are they able to use this mavui because the wall fell down. Rav says that's not enough to make. Rav would say that's not necessarily enough to make that the chotzer is going to ask for the mavui. Because it only asks it if they regularly use the mavui, and here they're not regularly using it. So that would be one part of the machlokas. So if we said that Rabbi Yehuda's statement was talking about a rechava, we would say only specific, and it was according to Shmuel. Shmuel would say only when it's a rechava, which is not a chotzer, which is not regularly used for living space, then it's okay if the mavri is open to it. But if it was a chotzer, then you would have a problem. Whereas Rav would say that either way you're allowed to carry in, that even then you'd be allowed to carry in the chotzer. So that would be one part of the machlokas. And then the other part, if they did make an eruv, and then the only problem is the breaches in the walls, then they would be arguing about what Rabbi Yosef says, This scenario that we said, that Rabbi Yehuda is saying, you'd be allowed to carry in the mavri as long as you make a lechi at the end that opens the Rosh Hashanah, that is only if the mavui goes to the middle of the rechava, but if it goes to the side of the rechava, meaning in other words, before we were talking about, you have a mavui, and then it goes towards the middle of the rechava, and then you have the rechava stretches out on both sides of the mavui, and then you have a hole in it on the other side. Now, what happens, though, if instead, let's say that here is the mavui and here is the rechava over here. We have, conveniently enough, the Gemara over here is shaped like this. So let's say you have, here is the mavui, and then you have one wall of the mavui continues and becomes the wall of the rechava, and the other one broadens out. So the rechava, in other words, is offset. Instead of being in the middle, where some of it, is on one side of the mavui and some of it is on the other and some of it is across, or some of it is on one side and some of it is in the middle and none of it on the other side. So then Rabbi Yosef is saying, then it would be osir. Why would it be also? Because in that case, then what you have is it looks like one long mavui. And you have an opening from it to the other, at the other end, to Rosh Hashanah. So therefore, it's not going to be good enough to have. So when do we say it's a mavui sasum? Only when do we say, according to Rav or according to Shmuel rather, that it would be considered a mavui sasum only if it opens to the middle of the rechava, where therefore you have reason to say the walls of the mavui end here, and the walls of the rechava start after that, but not if one wall continues continuously from the wall right. So we would say then. So if we said that Rabbi Yehuda's statement was according to Shmuel and that it contradicts Rav, then what we would say is that Rav and Shmuel are arguing about that point. Do we agree with Rabbi Yosef's din or not? So Rabbah says a further condition, even if the mavui opens to the middle of the rechava, that loyam moran, we only say that it's mutter without doing anything else at that end, only if the opening from the Mavui to the Rechava and the opening from the Rechava to Rosh Hashanah Abim are not one opposite the other. Now, in the diagram in Rashi, we showed them as one opposite the other. We showed it going continuously through. But now Rabbah is saying that's actually not right. You would have to have the opening from the Mavui is over here. Then you have the Rechava broadens out. And then you have the opening in the Rechava from it to Rosh Hashanah Abim is not directly opposite the Mavui, but on one side or the other. Only then would it be okay. The opening. So then, because if it's directly opposite it, then what you have is, in effect, you still have a Mavri Mefulash. So again, Rashi says, what we have over here is, if the opening to Rosh Hashanah Abim at the other end of the Rechava is offset, then in effect what you have over here is a Mavri Akum. You have over here a bent Mavri. So that's why we would say then that the Rechava itself would count as the bend in the Mavri, and therefore we're saying you need a Tzuras HaPesach over there. But if the openings are directly one opposite the other, then you would have a problem. Then you would for sure need a Tzuras HaPesach at that end, because then you really have a Mavri Mefulash. And according to Rav Huna, we would say before maybe even you would need a door over there, because he would say the halacha might technically be a Chananya. And one more condition, Amar Masharshia, even if the doorways from the Mavui to the Rechava and from the Rechava to the street are not one opposite the other, that only applies if it's a Rechava that belongs to many people. But if it all belongs to one person, then it's no good, because we said before that it only works if the Mavui opens to the middle of the Rechava, and if it belongs to one person, he may decide one day that he wants to build buildings on one side of his Rechava. And now you have it's a Mavui that opens to one side of the Rechava. Again, we started with a Mavui that opens to the middle, that you started with a Mavui that opens to the middle of the Rechava, like in the diagram in Rashi. But then what you have is, if that Rechava belongs to a Yochid, he may decide to build some buildings over here, let's say. Now you have the wall of the Mavui continues as the wall of the Rechava. And we said before, that's no good. So it comes out basically that you have three conditions that you're going to need in order for this Mavui to be okay to carry in. It needs to be that it's open to a Rechava, not a Chatzar. Otherwise, we said it's also unless they make an Eruv. It needs to be the Rechava that's open to needs to be a Rechava Shal Rabim, so one person doesn't decide one day to build on one side of it. They'd all need to agree together. And the opening on the other side of the Rechava has to be not opposite the opening from the Mavui. If you have all those conditions, then we said you're able to consider it a Mavui Sosum, when all you need is a Lechi Rekoda at the one end to Rosh Hashanah Abim, and you don't need anything at the other end. Otherwise, you would need a Tzuras HaPesach at the other end as well. And you would also need an Eruv. Okay.